our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere, all at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
All right, everyone, here we go. Welcome to the Speak Up Table. My name is Barbara, and today's guests are Wayne Benner and Luke Ahmet. These are two of the eight candidates running for just three seats on the Sandpoint City Council. Only three openings, eight candidates, and you guys have the privilege and the responsibility to make the choices. The top three vote getters will be your city council members for the next term. I've previously talked, the other candidates that I've talked to in previous weeks are Jason Welker, Justin Dick, Art Beislein, Joel Isperow, John Darling, and Fritz Moore. So today, the final two candidates. I'm sure that you know, again, that all eight names are on the ballot, so you guys get to make the choice. And I'm glad you're with us today. So sit, stay with us. And we'll be right back with information that you can use to make a good choice.
You do it for your partner so you can keep building memories. You do it for your children so you don't miss a birthday. You do it for your friends so you don't miss a laugh. You do it for yourself because you deserve it. No matter the reason, every year you do it. So get it off your chest and schedule your yearly breast exam today. Kinnexu Community Health accepts Medicaid, Medicare, and most insurances and offers a sliding fee program for those meeting income guidelines. Not a patient? You're in luck. We're accepting those too. Learn more at kchnorthidaho.org.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things, too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
The Sandpoint Bulldog football team, fresh off their dispatching of Moscow, faces Lakeland Friday night. The Bulldogs and Hawks will battle for the 4A District 1-2 football championship, and you won't want to miss a minute of the action, starting with the Oaks Fresh Market pregame show at 6:40. Kickoff with yours truly, Chris Champern and Jay Vandenberg at 7. It's Sandpoint, Lakeland, for the district championship Friday night here at North Idaho's Radio, 1400 KSPT, 1450 KBFI, and 97.1 FM.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
All right. right, here we are. We're back. And before we get started, I want to make two announcements for you. First of all, I've spoken with Michael Rosedale, our Bonner County Clerk, and I don't know why there's kind of this idea floating around the community a little bit that we want to set straight. There is no mask mandate to vote in Bonner County, whether you're voting early in person or on election day at the polling place. You do not need to wear a mask. It's not mandated. It's not required. However, of course, you're free to wear a mask anywhere that you want to. If you're more comfortable that way, then we want you to do that. But we also want you to know that it is not required. The other thing I want to tell you about, there's just an interesting COVID mandate. Speaking of mandates, a COVID panel that's like a town hall that's coming up this Saturday. And it's sponsored by the Health Freedom of Idaho and Turning Point Faith. I think it could be interesting. You may be interested in it. It's this Saturday, October 23rd, beginning at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at Regeneration Calvary Chapel, which is 130 McGee Road out on Highway 2. You know where the old Coldwater Creek campus used to be and where Lighthouse is? They have their big sign. They have their corporate offices there. It's there. And Regeneration Calvary Chapel has their church in one of those old Coldwater Creek buildings. Anyway, it's going to be moderated by Fritz Moore. He is a candidate for city council, but he's a moderator on this. Colton Boyles, JD, he intends to be a candidate for Idaho Attorney General, and so there'll be an attorney on the panel, Pastor Jason Gould. He's with Regeneration Calvary Chapel. Mr. Gardner Cardfelt, who is the director of the Idaho Freedom Idaho, Alan Banks, Dr. PhD, and he sits on the North Idaho Panhandle Health District Board, and then John Blanchard, who is a health professional with the Blanchard Primary Care. So anyways, there's lots of different, I think, opinions that would be represented. You may be interested this Saturday, 1 o'clock, Regeneration Calvary Chapel off of McGee Road in Kootenai. All right, here we go. Welcome, Wayne Benner. Welcome, Luke Ahmet. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
All right. So I'm going to begin. Wayne, I'll begin with you. And my question that I've asked the other candidates, and I'm kind of looking for your top priority, something that you're really passionate about. I know there's a lot of stuff on the table, a lot important, but what is really important to you? What really drew you into this race?
Well, I'm passionate, I guess, about a lot of different aspects of city government. Having been a city administrator and a county commissioner, I understand a lot of the workings and how things are done. But I would have to say probably at the top of the list is planning and zoning. I think we need to get a new planner on board and start working on upgrading the comprehensive plan and the guidelines that go along with it. I think that's number one priority at this stage. And there are other priorities that are very close seconds.
And let me just do a quick follow-up. If there is one thing in that comprehensive plan and within the framework of planning and zoning that is concerning you, obviously there's something in there that's concerning you that you've put that at the top of your list. What is it?
Housing. I think that planning and zoning is kind of the key component to our housing issues that we are facing right now in the community.
All right, we'll come back to that in more detail. Let's ask Luke, what is your top priority? What is of everything you're really concerned about?
Well, hello, and thank you for having me. The biggest issue for me as a longtime Bonner County resident is housing. My 23 years of experience in the military has ended up in logistics. And in our county, and especially in Sandpoint, we are facing a slow-moving crisis because of housing. We have to address the fact that in 20 to 40 years, which is what a council should be planning for, if we don't do something now, we will not have basic infrastructure because of the cost of housing. The current jobs that are posted on our city, county, and on the Lake Pend Oreille website for the classified folks, which are the ones that plow our streets, they maintain our buildings, and they keep us safe, the wages that we are paying are not going to allow them to live here. This is something that we can solve locally.
All right. Well, housing at the top of the list for both of these candidates, so let's dig into it a little bit. Wayne, what is it about housing that concerns you? Luke is talking about, if I'm hearing him, the cost of housing for all of the people that support our community, whether they're plowing roads or doing repair work. What is it about housing that concerns you, and what is your solution?
Well, when we came here in 75, I was working for Bonner County, and my wife was a teacher. We could not afford housing. We found a creative solution by having parents that were willing to invest in our future to help us secure some housing. And I think that there's other solutions out there that we need to take a look at to find solutions that will help these people, one of them through the planning process to make more adequate housing available at affordable prices. The plan unit development, for example, concept within the plan is an excellent way of looking at achieving both housing and developers' goals of making money by keeping infrastructure costs down and also encouraging higher density. So that's one of the options that I see within the planning that we need to take a little harder look at.
All right. Let's let it stop there. And Luke, obviously the issue is affordable housing. You brought up that issue. You know, what can the city do to encourage developers to build more affordable housing?
We currently have a number of existing housing agencies that are within the county. And this is an Idaho problem. Our success as a state has resulted in many people choosing to want to live here. I would strongly advocate the creation of a housing authority as allowed by Idaho code. And the primary difference is a housing agency is state and federal. A housing authority can be much more localized. That housing authority would have the ability to put before the voters the question of what are we willing to do as a community to address this issue.
I know a lot of people are concerned, and Wayne used the phrase higher density, and that is a phrase that gets people pretty concerned one way or the other. Do you see a solution for within the confines of Sandpoint? Not, I know the county has a lot more land, but of higher density, in other words, building up and allowing a lot more people within the framework, within Sandpoint city limits?
I say yes to all of the above. There is not a silver bullet to this solution. And the city of Sandpoint, we should be leading the way. We are the county seat. I believe that elected officials have a responsibility to provide services to our citizens. And if we can't have our basic services provided because we have some crazy expectation that people are going to get in a vehicle and commute for an hour for a job that does not pay as high as it does in other localities, that's just nuts.
Okay, I just want to understand. So in my way of thinking, and I'm going to keep it with Luke, but you're going to get the same question, Wayne. You know, when you talk about higher density housing to bring more people in, I don't hear you talking about the infrastructure over here that's going to support them, whether it's turn lanes or wastewater or water treatment. I just see, you know, more and more people pulling in and living here because of higher density. What am I missing?
We cannot escape that we are going to have to walk and chew gum. We're going to have to deal with infrastructure, and we're going to have to deal with housing. I've been engaged in many conversations with many people on the left, the right, and in the middle. We have to do all of the above. We are not going to shut off the spigot of people who recognize how great it is to live in our town and in our greater Sandpoint community.
Wayne, do you agree with that, that the city doesn't have any way to control the spigot, as Luke said, of the people coming in, that we might move it, that we need to, do infrastructure while we're allowing a lower number of people coming in, just not allow all the housing units and just not allow that increase as much while we get the infrastructure up? What do you think about that issue?
Well, I have to agree with Luke on the city has no way of controlling people coming here. We've had our ups and downs over the course of time. We had the 80s when you couldn't buy a U-Haul trailer here or rent one because everybody was leaving town. We will continue to have people come with these increases, and I think that we can be doing the infrastructure as well as allowing some higher density developments. For example, there was a development approved out along Boyer by the airport. The city rules and regulations limited basically the number of lots that could be built. The developer is building affordable housing of what he quoted as $500,000 or more. That's a shame. That could have been an area where we could have had a planned unit development, doubled the density in this one spot, and kept the price of the homes down. And that's I think, what we really need to be looking at. Yes, infrastructure is going to be a problem. Infrastructure's been a problem for years. And we just need to have a plan in place as part of keeping up with that. And your developments, your developers also, with having a plan in place, can help pay for that infrastructure. And that's an example of what went on with the University Place.
Okay. All right, let's switch our focus, Luke, to infrastructure. We've talked about wastewater, and I think even drinking water is becoming an issue, and maybe turn lanes or parking. So the city does have some control over that. So what are your comments on how we need to approach these infrastructure issues? And these are big, what is it? The wastewater, it's being estimated $70 to $100 million now in today's dollars multi-years. But how would you approach that?
In one word, I'm going to say thoughtfully. The wastewater treatment plant, which is 60-ish years old, and the 2017 estimates was $50 to $70 million. Yeah. If you look at the price of gas or you go into the grocery store, you are seeing that our dollar is buying less. We have no choice but to address infrastructure. And we have no choice with any governmental program of figuring out how we are going to pay for it. We can watch the gridlock that's going on in Washington, D.C. and wait for them to pass the infrastructure bill. Or we can also accept that we need clean drinking water now. We need streets that are safe for us now. And we need sidewalks that people are not going to trip and fall upon. And this is a responsibility incumbent upon all of us as citizens and residents to figure out a solution for. And if anybody thinks that we can do this without paying for it in some manner or form, please contact me immediately.
No, we have to pay, but the question is, how are we going to pay? Wayne, I'll bring it back to you. You two are in agreement of the importance of infrastructure. We can't walk away from it. We can't kick it down the street anymore. How are we going to pay for it? What are some of the avenues and the dollar streams that we can tap into?
Well, at this stage, there are funds available of different sources for doing development with water, sewer, and even some roads, even though roads are not quite as high a priority in grant funding. But there are grants available out there, and we need to be seeking every possible grant that is available. We also need to take a little bit different approach maybe in some of the ways that we fund our projects and or build those projects. For example, the sewage treatment plant being done in stages is an excellent way to do it. And build-as-you-go process has been shown to work over the years, and is another good option that the city is currently pursuing. So I think we need to keep those avenues in place. Yes, you're going to have to pay. User fees are the way to do it. The other option to gain some more money back for the sewage treatment plant is for that enterprise to sell back to the city its 80 acres that they bought for the moving of the sewage treatment plant, which is not feasible, a perfect place to turn into an affordable housing development.
Yeah. So. All right, same question to you, and then we're going to take a break. Luke, what are some of the funding strategies? Grants have been mentioned, doing it in stages, like the wastewater treatment in stages. What are some of your ideas?
I'm going to go back to, one, we need to trust the staff of the city to come up with solid solutions. And currently, we are lacking a grant person for the city of Sandpoint, which is a very important position for us to fill. But we're going to have to come up with bonds. I think we should also be looking at potential community partnerships with Ponderé Dover in any manner that we can to limit our impact and footprint upon our environment and hopefully be able to increase as many efficiencies as possible with all of these challenges that are facing us. Impact fees are challenging in Idaho. User fees are a necessity.
All right, real good. We're going to leave it right there. I'm sure this is not the end of that discussion, but for us right now it is. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
The sights and sounds of downtown Sandpoint create a shopping and dining experience like no other. Sharon's Hallmark is filled with new fall merchandise. Candles featuring great fall fragrances, cozy throws, warm pajamas, socks, and slippers. Shop Sharon's Hallmark in the heart of the Sandpoint Shopping District.
Step into Eve's Leaves, where you'll find great fall and winter merchandise, specially chosen collections from top fashion designers and accessories to complement you and your contemporary lifestyle. Open 7 days a week in historic Sandpoint.
Jordan Sales and Service, home of the I Love My Tractor customer, has you covered this winter with a Coyote and closed cab tractor. Include your choice of Coyote attachments, from snow blowers to snow blades. Jordan Sales has the right Coyote tractor set up waiting for you. Take a look at their Coyote inventory at jordansales.com. Then stop by and see them for yourself in Post Falls at 3200 West Celtis Way. And get one before you get snowed in. You can always check them out on Facebook too. Jordan Sales and Service, your rural lifestyle dealer.
Okay, joining us today on the podcast is Stan and Roy, collectively known as the Raptors from Triple Play. Guys, here's a question. I've heard the Raptor Reef Water Park is always exactly 86 degrees. Why is this?
Well, Madeline, rigorous studies showed us that 86 degrees is the ideal temperature for fun to grow and flourish.
Oh, Stan.
So are you saying the water park would be less fun if it was 85 or 87 degrees?
I think that might possibly be exactly what I'm saying.
Could we make that not what he's saying?
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can bowl, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
At 88 degrees, fun really dissipates, and we want to avoid that.
Okay, Stan, what is that based on?
Instinct, Roy. Distinct instinct.
Oh.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their head?
We play! Yeah!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
97.1 FM. 1450 KBFI and 1400 KSPT.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. We've got it going on for you today here. We have two more candidates that are seeking your vote for Sandpoint City Council. Today we are talking with Wayne Benner and Luke Ahmet. And there are eight candidates and only three seats available. So you guys have got your work cut out for you out there. I hope you're taking notes and making wise decisions. All right, I'm going to start with you, Luke, on this. And that is the LOT, the local option tax, that I'm pretty sure it's safe for me to say our mayor really wants to use it for parks and places to walk dogs and skateboard and have more flowers. Nothing wrong with that. What do you think of it?
I think a local option tax is a wonderful way for cities to finance projects. The literature that's been published by the city puts it at approximately 85 cents of every dollar generated is going to come from non-residents. I am not in support of this local option tax as it is currently written.
What is it about that you don't like the way it's going to be used or the way the money is being applied? Or
specifically, in 2018, for the strategic plan, the city discussed purchasing the University of Idaho property. I believe that the loss of that property is an opportunity that our residents will never have again, to have 75 acres. An example of good governance is the Pendere Bay Trail. What an epic public works that was done in partnership with our neighboring communities. I emailed our six city council members asking them to add two words to the local option tax. And that's what it would have taken to have earned my support and many other residents. And that was to add the words potential workforce housing. I get that's more than two words, but it was to add there's a line on there for property, to add potential workforce housing. The lack of having those words handcuffs the city with what they can do legally. Mm-hmm. And we must do what we say as government. Three of the six counselors emailed me back, and I appreciate it. I think the city needs to have options to not miss opportunities like we did with the University of Idaho.
Okay, I want to keep it here for just a minute, Wayne. And so you're in favor, obviously, of local option taxes as an avenue for a financial stream, a money stream for the city. But what you're disagreeing with, that they want to use it for parks, or they should have said parks and something else?
Absolutely. We can do more than one thing at a time. I respect that we have gone through a challenging 2 years, but our toilets have had to flush for the entirety of the COVID-19 pandemic. As a city, we cannot take our eyes off of our responsibility to take care of citizens.
Right.
And if people are voting with their feet and our workforce is leaving our area, which it is, we have big problems that need to be addressed.
All right. So no to the local option tax because it only wants to help parks.
At this time. That's correct.
All right. I don't mean to paint you in a corner. I just want to be clear. All right, Wayne, the same question to you. Local option tax. It looks like it's all going to go to parks and rec and, you know, that's beautification. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I guess I'm a little bit in between, like Luke. I will, as a senior, it's another tax that I will have to continue to pay as I have been. Not necessarily something that I really like, but I think that it's a necessity that we need to put in place. Even though it's not going to all the things that everybody would like to have it go to, I was a little concerned and even spoke out about putting the sidewalks on there. Because some of the sidewalks that I think they're trying to put on are not really accomplishing the goals that need to be done. With affordable housing, if we have the ability to build more parks and provide for that, that may take the onus off of some of these developers to have some open space or some other parts in their developments. I agree with Luke completely that the city made a huge, huge mistake in not getting the university property, because that could have been a showcase for the city of Sandpoint that we will never really see again outside of possibly the property that the sewage treatment plant actually or the sewage program owns. That could be developed into quite a nice place, but it doesn't have the infrastructure like we lost with the...
It's not as big either. Not 75 acres, is it?
I think it's 80 acres, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's more or less comparable.
About comparable.
In acreage.
But
Luke had a quick thought on that.
I believe it's 37.
37
but
acres.
But Wayne has more experience, and you know what?
Okay.
He's a good guy.
All right. Well, that's a good question. We can figure that out. Yeah. Luke said that 85 cents to every dollar that's raised with the LOT, and I hope I'm going to quote you correctly, comes from outside of Sandpoint. Non-Sandpoint residents, which I think sounds like Bonner County residents. I mean, they're not like coming in from Texas, all that 85% to pay. So it's really all of our citizens. It's just, you know, most of it's going to come from not Sandpoint residents themselves. Is that what you said, Luke?
That's on the city's literature that came out.
Okay. Do you?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's what I saw also on that. And I have to concur with that because a lot of the people in the county shop here. A lot of people, especially in the summertime, come up to use our facilities, and they really don't pay. I mean, there was a comment made at a city council meeting that the new improvements at Memorial Field for the boat ramp is all for city, and pretty much all vehicles and trailers parked in there belong to Bonner County residents.
Yeah.
That's
or
not
Washington.
The case.
I think maybe a lot of Washingtonians are there too.
It's almost all Washingtons on a big weekend. And the reason why? Because they can come up from Washington that direction and buy gas very cheap for their boats as they come and then launch in an area where it's not congested like down at the city beach.
Yeah.
And I've talked to many of them since I live right there close by and walk in that area all the time. So I think that user fees, our kids had to pay for swimming lessons when they got swimming lessons from the city of Sandpoint.
So if you pull in there with your truck and your boat trailer and your boat to launch, they need to pay money.
I believe that...
That's not the LOT.
No. But that also would help increase some of the fees and pay for some of the services that these people are using. Because one thing we totally forget... When we do this, we've got to maintain it. So where did the fees come from to maintain all this?
Okay,
you know,
so
the boat ramps, the parks, and all that now come back to the local taxes after they're built.
Okay, so City Beach, let's say, and Memorial Field boat launch, user fees for everybody who pulls in there with the boat needs to pay. Do you agree with that, Luke?
I think it's something worth looking at. I would like to go a little bit. The city already does that in some regards. I have a 40-year-old sailboat that is down at, well, it's not at the windbag anymore. And we get a small discount for being a city resident. Mm-hmm. I think we could look at city resident, county resident, and everybody else. And I think that is an interesting point.
Same fee?
We should look at our fee structure. A great example of the city residents supporting the Bonner or the Lake Ponderay School District residents is War Memorial Field. Mm-hmm. What a testament to good government and what a testament to the local option tax. That is a beautiful project that will last for generations. That's an excellent example of solid building.
All right. We're getting a lot of agreement going on here and looking down the road. Pretty good vision happening here today. I like it. All right. So the local option tax, you guys are not in agreement with. Did I get that right? You're going to vote no, Luke, and you're going to
I'm going to vote yes.
And you're going to vote yes. Okay, so even though it's going over here and it's not maybe going where you want it to go, still we got to keep that channel open.
And my concern is once if it is approved, we have very good oversight to make sure that the funds are going to where the public actually wants to have those improvements.
I don't know about that. I mean, it isn't going to be designated to parks. I mean, do we get a choice? It looks like it's going to be written on the ballot. Like, this is what it's for.
It's for parks, but I think there's there's still a lot of leeway of how it gets used within the parks.
All right. Excellent.
And just one clarification.
Yeah.
Luke is correct, I believe, on the acreage. It was $80,000
okay.
for the property.
So, okay, but 37 me. Acres. So it's a smaller but than the university, but it's still a
substantial
still a chunk.
Party. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yes, Luke, so you had Luke. A comment.
There's approximately $12 million that would be generated by this 7-year local option tax. There are specific expenditures that are outlined on the ballot. I have nothing but good things to say about Sandpoint Parks and Recreation. My wife demands that, and I support my wife wholeheartedly. I do believe that the money will be well managed. However, I do not believe that this local option tax best serves the needs of Sandpoint moving forward.
All right. We are up against another break. We're going to take it right now. Don't go anywhere because we're going to come back. We have more conversation just for you.
We are here with Shane Flory from North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry, answering your questions about aftermarket parts. I hear a lot about OEM parts. What is that?
OEM parts means original manufactured parts, which are made by the manufacturer of your particular vehicle. Honda's Honda parts, Toyota's Toyota parts. Aftermarket parts are made in China, and they don't fit correctly or have the same corrosion protection as the original manufactured parts do. At North Idaho Collision, you can rest assured that we only use OEM parts. We do this to make sure that your car is returned to pre-accident condition, not repaired to a lesser degree.
So if you receive an insurance estimate that includes aftermarket parts, how do you handle that?
That's where we're different than most shops. We cover the cost to put OEM parts back on your car, regardless of what the insurance company pays for.
To learn more about North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry, visit them online at nicrepaircenter.com.
Have you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grunberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
I haven't really woken up until I've had my McDonald's breakfast deal. And I know this is true because before breakfast, I put my phone in the refrigerator and couldn't find the keys that were already in my hand.
Now buy one sausage McMuffin, sausage burrito, or hash brown and get another for a buck. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it. The what is mom waiting for deal is when she was just handed McDonald's at the drive-thru.
Thank you.
And still has the food. And still has the food. And still...
Mom!
And now everyone can start.
Now buy one McChicken, McDouble, or hot and spicy McChicken and get another for a buck. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans and your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. Even if you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.com.
Keep up to date on everything we're doing at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We've got it going on for you. A nice conversation with two city council candidates. Wayne Banner, Luke Ahmet are here to grab your vote. I hope you're enjoying it. And I want to change the conversation a little bit. That I think that both of you have kind of mentioned this in a way that as months and time goes on, issues change, costs change, priorities may even change, but what you bring to the table is your own inner values that are always with you and that guide you as you make any decision, whether it's a decision in your family or a decision on our behalf in government. So, Wayne, I'll bring it back to you first to tell us, you know, what are those inner core values that guide you and have guided you through your life here?
Well, I guess, first of all, just real quickly, I would say that I always try to make a decision based off the best information that is at hand at that time with a vision of where we need to go. My values have been here. We've been farmers here, ran an organic farm. In fact, actually established the first organic farm in Bonner County. We're part of establishing the farmer's market years ago, and also very ended up coaching soccer for, 7 years with the kids, and we started the soccer program. So my values are I'm here in Sandpoint because it's a beautiful community to live in. People are friendly, and I want to continue to have that kind of atmosphere for myself and for my grandkids and for my kids that are still living here in the community and one that wants to come back. So that's my core values are basically live and enjoy yourself, but at the same time not destroy what we have no matter what you're doing.
All right, very good. Wayne Better, thank you for that. Luke Ahmet, what are some of the core values that you bring to the table that you would bring to the city council?
After 23 years in uniform and in boots, and now having a lieutenant who I work with who literally is young enough to be my son, which is odd, loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. The biggest piece for me is a sense of duty. And that sense of duty comes from faith. And my faith is in my neighbors, it's in the American people, and it's in all of the things that have made me and the other candidates willing to run to represent our city. Most importantly, the fact that my wife is letting me do this and my family is behind me.
All right, very good. That's Luke Ahmet talking about core values. One of the questions, and it's on the list because it's just one of those topics that's out in the community that whether it's the school district or city council or the county, this whole issue that COVID-19 has forced on us, this idea of mask mandates or even vaccination mandates. So I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on mandates in those two areas. You can take them separately. Mask mandate, Wayne, vaccination mandate. What do you think of that? How far should government go?
Well, I guess being a senior, I grew up with the vaccination mandates back in the 50s, early 60s, when you didn't go to school unless you were vaccinated for certain items. I am very happy that I did get vaccinated at those times because I've known people that have not survived based off of not being vaccinated. So I have no problem with the vaccines, and I think that anytime you have a pandemic, you need to take stringent action to address it. And sometimes that's not necessarily what you really like, but you have to do it. As for masks, I think that they are a part of helping the spread. I walk into a store. If the employees have masks on, I put a mask on. I've been vaccinated, and thank goodness I have, because we've also had people close by that we know of that have passed away because they weren't vaccinated. So that's it's a tough question, and you're going to have both sides of the fence no matter how you do it. But I'm on the side that I think we need to really look at that as a way to keep the spread of the virus going.
I just want to be clear that you are recommending mandates that people be forced to get the vaccination and forced to wear a mask.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you for making that clear. Yeah. Luke, where are you on the issue of the mandates?
This goes back to my previous comment on faith. I support people having the right to make the best medical decision for themselves. I am opposed to mandates for either the vaccination. I am opposed to government, in this case, local government, having a mask mandate. I wholeheartedly support the right of individuals to make the best medical decision for themselves. I have family members that are vaccinated. I have family members that are not. And they are still my family. I speak with them, and I love them equally. I don't think it is the place of local government to be getting into that role. I believe that the state of Idaho's budget surplus demonstrates that Governor Little has done a pretty decent job of angering almost everybody equally, which to me, unfortunately, is partially a sign of good government. We are in a very good situation moving forward as a state, and I believe that that's a question that's best left to the state to decide as allowed by our Idaho Constitution.
All right, very good. Very interesting comments from both of you. Right now, I'm going to give you, if we still have time afterwards, I have another question, but I want to give you gentlemen an opportunity to talk directly to the audience on your own, saying goodbye, vote for me, whatever you want to say to close off this opportunity you have. You're talking to a lot of people up in Boundary County and here in Bonner, and they're not all able to vote for you, but there are a lot of people listening right now. So Wayne, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you again for allowing us to participate. I would have to say that I will be, if elected, which I hope I am, the senior of the city council. And I think that it would behoove the public to have somebody of my stature on the city council. I have background in engineering, planning, and city administration, as well as being an elected official. So I think I can bring to the city council some very good knowledge, expertise, and education that can help the city expand and move forward into the future. And so I would appreciate everybody's vote. It's a very, very tough election this year because this is one of the few that there's actually eight candidates that can serve the city very, very well. And I think that if I wasn't on here, I'd have a hard time which three to vote for. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Wayne. Very gracious. All right, Luke, the same to you.
40-year Bonner County resident, 23 years in uniform, 12 years as a public school teacher. Right now I teach American government. Elections matter. It's very easy to complain about what any government, whether it's local, county, state, or national, does or does not do. People should vote their conscience, and they should live their conscience. And especially in this time that we are living in today, we should respect all of those who may or may not agree with us. I'm running because I love my street, I have great neighbors, and I have a great love for this community. The people that we elect in 2021 are going to be making big decisions that are going to affect us, not just for today, but for generations. I believe that my experience as a teacher, husband, dad, longtime resident, has put me in a good position to be able to support the residents of Sandpoint and also the greater Sandpoint area. It's a privilege and a duty of us to take care of those that we can, but we must also safeguard and steward the fact we're asking to spend other people's money as we do so. So please consider me for one of your three votes. I'm hoping for a top three finish. And I want to say thank you to Wayne because it's been a pleasure to work with someone with such civility and experience.
All right. Very good to both of you. All the best. Wayne Benner, Luke Ahmet. That's it for today's program. I appreciate you guys being with us. Next week, the only contested seat on the Lake Pendere School District between Gary Suppiger and Jalen Peters. They're going to be here just for you. You can compare them. So until then, this is Barbara saying take care and God bless you.